If you will, let's open our Bibles this morning to Habakkuk chapter 2, and we'll begin with studying, and we're going to read all of the verses in a moment, verses 6 through 20 for this section. We're only going to cover part of it today, but we'll begin. I want to read all of it together. I do that so that you can get the full view of everything that Habakkuk is going to talk about, that God is saying through Habakkuk, about the sin of Babylon. There are five things that will be noted. Just a refresher, our theme for this study in the book of Habakkuk is trusting God when you don't understand him. We're tracing the prophet Habakkuk's journey from doubt to faith as he's recorded it here in this book. Habakkuk is struggling with questions that oftentimes many of us may have struggled with when we're going through seasons of doubt in our own life. And remember those three questions: does God care, is God fair, and is God there? Habakkuk's first question, does God care, was prompted by all of the violence and the injustice that he noticed, that he saw throughout all of the land of Judah, among all of the people of Judah. And so as Habakkuk saw all of this, he wondered why God did not do something. Haven't we questioned that at times? You know, things can get so bad, it seems like, when you say, why doesn't God do something? And that's a condition, that's a position he was in. Why doesn't he do something about it? So he began to wonder, well, if God was even noticing, was God caring about the country, caring about the people? So God answered Habakkuk, and he answered him by saying, yes, I notice, I see what's happening, and I do care. And by the way, I'm preparing Babylon, that wicked country, to come in here and to take over Judah. They're going to rampage and they're going to take you captive. He was going to send them to judge the people of Judah for their sin. So he answered his question, first question. Well, that answer, the answer God gave to the first question, brought up another question. And that's the second one. Well, the Babylonians were a worse people than the people of Judah. They were horrible. They were a terrible people. So why would God use this nation that was worse than Judah to punish them? That brings up the question then, well, was God fair? Is it fair that God would do that? Well, God answered this question by saying that in his timing, he is going to send Babylon to destroy them, but in his timing also, Babylon is also going to be overthrown. And so that was how we left off last week. Meanwhile, the righteous are to live how? The righteous are to live by faith, trusting God to do justly and to do things in his own time. So now last week, we saw that God made a general promise that he was going to judge Babylon. So when we're up to that, remember, this is all a prophecy that's going to cover quite a few years, and I'll bring that out in just a moment. But he gave a general promise, as we left off last Sunday, that he was going to judge Babylon for their sin. Now, as we come to our text today and the passages that we're going to read, we're going to get more highlights. He's going to get more specific with the highlights of Babylon's specific sins, and then God's corresponding judgment for each of those sins. But as we look at it, I want us to take note of this fact that it's very important for us to see that as this passage highlights the various ways, it does highlight the various ways that people in life, you and me, the various ways that we might seek to advance ourselves and to advance ourselves to our own ruin. And we're going to take note of that today. So if you've ever wanted to know how to lose it all, then this is the passage we need to study. Let's read these verses now. Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his? How long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awake who oppress you? And you will become their booty. Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land and of the city and of all who dwell in it. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, the nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be on your glory. For the violence done in Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of beasts which made them afraid. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it. To make mute idols? Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise. It shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and yet in it there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now, if you were to go into a bookstore and you saw a book entitled How to Lose It All, would you buy it? Would you? Probably not, but on the other hand, you might just out of curiosity. But most likely, none of us are looking for a book that says how to lose it all. I don't know of any of us that would say, well, you know, I've always wanted to lose everything, so here's a book to tell me just what to do so I can lose everything, and this will show me how to do it. We don't go around looking for that. But on the other hand, we might buy the book to learn what not to do. Because we can look in that book, see what to do to lose it, and then we can be sure we do just the opposite. So we do not lose everything. Well, that's what this passage before us in Habakkuk is about this morning. How to lose it all. We want to learn how to lose it all in order that we may learn what not to do, so that we do not lose it all. That's the purpose of our study today and next week. So what is going on in this passage? God is raising up the Babylonians to bring judgment on the surrounding nations, not just Judah, but the surrounding nations, to bring judgment on them for their sins. However, we learn that Babylon was not motivated by concerns for justice. They were not motivated by concern to serve God, even though God is using them for this purpose. They're not concerned about that. Babylon was motivated purely by greed. That was their sole motivation. We read verse 5 last week, so I want to remind you of that. He says, indeed, because he trespasses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home. Remember, he in these verses is Babylon. He's a proud man. He does not stay at home because he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. So the motive is greed. The Babylonians were driven by pure greed. They were not thinking about God at all. They conquered all of the surrounding nations in order to build an empire for themselves. The Babylonians thought that they had it all. They had it made, so to speak. But in reality, they were about to lose it all. God would judge the nation of Babylon for their all-consuming greed. Now, the coming judgment is described in great detail in the passage that we just read and that we're going to study today and next Sunday. Notice how the passage starts off in verse 6. Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say? Now, I'll stop there for a minute. That's the introduction. Then follows what is called a taunt song. That's the whole idea. A taunt song here is a song or a poem that is designed to mock or to scorn. And that's why he speaks about a taunting riddle against him. And in this particular song that we're going to look at here, Babylon is mocked by the other nation that it conquers. They're mocking Babylon all along. And although the song is obviously directed against Babylon, Babylon is never mentioned by name. It's he and him all the way through. But Babylon is the reference there. So these words are generalized in such a way, and that's what I like about this. These words are generalized in such a way that this song could apply to anyone. It can apply to you, it can apply to me, it can apply to anyone who acts in the way that Babylon acted. And that's what we're going to note this morning, how they acted. So do you want to know how to lose it all? That's the question for today. Well, you just have to follow man's way. That's a short way to say it. Just follow man's way. And you'll lose it all. And I think Jesus sums that up in Matthew 16:26. He says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Follow the way of the world and we'll lose. So man's way is very simple. Gain whatever you can, however you can. And just look around us in the world today. And that's a prevalent idea, isn't it? Gain whatever you can, however you can. Man's way is the way of selfishness and greed. Man's way is to gain the world, but to lose his soul. Man's way is how you lose it all. Now, I want us to take a good look here, first of all, at man's way, as it's described in this passage, and then we're going to look at God's way at the end of the message next week. But there are five things that we'll note, and we'll take note of that in just a moment. First of all, man's way is to gain the world but lose your soul. Then this taunt song in this passage is made up of five different woes. And if you want to, when you get home or on the way home, unless you're driving, just mark those woes. And that's the five woes that we'll be looking at today and next week. And so the taunt song in this passage, it's marked by these five woes. And each of the five woes is the song that first of all, it identifies a specific sin, the sin of greed and selfishness, but then specifically And then it pronounces God's judgment upon that sin. And so he's going to give us a woe for this, and then this is what's wrong, this is what you're doing, and then God's judgment for that. Babylon's greed manifests itself in these five ways: theft, injustice, violence, exploitation, and idolatry. But to what profit? What was their gain in the end? The irony of the song is that those who practice these things think and believe that they are gaining wealth and security, power and pleasure, guidance and direction, when in reality they're going to lose all of the things that they hoped to gain. So today we're going to look at the first two. The first two things, theft and injustice. And we'll take note of the sin and then also God's judgment on them. So first of all is theft. And the sin, and this is in verses 6 through 8, and the sin is stealing from others to gain wealth for yourself. Stealing from others to gain wealth for yourself. So this first woe is found, as I said, in verse 6 through 8. Look at verse 6, how it starts. Woe to him who increases what is not his. How long? Now, the sin here is identified as stealing from others in order to gain wealth for yourself. Stealing and theft are as old as the human race. Sometimes we don't think about it, but you know, the very first sin of humanity really involved stealing, didn't it? When Adam and Eve took of the fruit of that tree of knowledge, when God said, don't eat that fruit, and when they took of that fruit, that was stealing. Because God said, don't take that. We take something that doesn't belong to us, that's stealing. So in the very first sin involves stealing. Stealing is such a serious sin that God made it part of the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal, Exodus 20, verse 15. And then there are very specific laws throughout all of the Old Testament that deal with the problem of stealing and theft. Now, when we think about stealing and theft, what usually comes to our mind? Well, I think of two things specifically that we think of. One is we think of someone breaking into someone's home and taking possessions out of the home, or we think of someone going into a bank and robbing a bank. And those are two ways, two things that are done, but these are only two ways that we can steal. Now, I feel like most of us, well, I'll have to say all of us, have never gone into someone's home and taken something stolen. Or we certainly haven't gone into a bank and robbed that bank. I think we can be safe in saying that. But you know what? We can steal in other ways. There are several other ways that we can steal. We can steal from our employers. We can steal by padding our expense reports if we have expense reports. We can take things out of the office and take them home that do not belong to us. We can also loaf on the job, can't we? We can leave early and we can arrive late and we can call in sick when we're really well. I remember when I worked at Publix, we had time clocks back then. You had to punch in and punch out. Well, some of the fellows learned if you punched in as late as 7 after the hour, that was still credited to you as starting at, I'll say 7 o'clock, that's when we punched in. And so you had that full 15 minutes. Then you could punch out at 7 minutes till, and that gave you the full hour. So they were literally, technically, robbing about 15, 20 minutes every day of not working, see. So in that way, we can steal, we can rob. We can steal by shortchanging customers if we are in a store, by overpricing goods and services. We can also steal by price gouging in a crisis. And boy, we see that. It seems like every time there's a hurricane and the gas all of a sudden jumps up, you know, a lot. So we can steal. That's stealing when all of that is done. All right, people steal from their insurance companies by making fraudulent claims, by making misleading statements. People steal from the government by cheating on their taxes. And students can steal in school by cheating on tests and by plagiarism. See, all of those are ways that we can steal. So stealing is a much bigger problem, isn't it, than breaking into someone's home or robbing a bank. These other areas bring them a little closer to home for us, don't they? Because those are possibilities. We are guilty of stealing anytime we take something that is not rightfully ours. And so that was the first step. Well, why do we do it? Why do we steal? Why do we take what is not ours? Well, we steal because we think that somehow we're going to gain an advantage by stealing. It's going to be to our benefit, to our profit. We steal from others in order to gain wealth for ourselves. That's the reason, that's what's behind the price gouging. That's what's behind cheating on taxes. Most of it, we don't want the government getting our money. I'd love it if I could keep every dime, you know. We all would. But who's going to pay for the roads? Well, we won't get into that. That's something else. But my point is, you see, we steal from others in order to gain wealth for ourselves. But stealing is wrong because we harm our neighbor whenever we take something that does not belong to us. And so that's the first sin. Is stealing, theft. Now, what is God's judgment? His judgment is you're going to lose all that you have taken. That's his judgment. You're going to lose rather than gain. Look at verse 7 and 8. God says, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you, and you will become their booty? Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you because of man's blood and the violence of the land and of the city and of all who dwell in it. Babylon had plundered many nations, and Judah's going to be one of them. And I'll give you some dates in just a second. Judah's going to be one of them. Now the nations were going to plunder Babylon in turn. And Babylon would lose everything because they had stolen from the nations and literally stolen the nations. This prophecy of Habakkuk was written in 612 BC. It's only going to be 15 years later that Jerusalem's going to fall to Babylon. And that's in the year 579 BC. But it's not going to last long. 58 years later, in 539, Persia is going to come in and overthrow Babylon. You see, everything that they have plundered, everything that they have taken, is only going to last them 58 years. And then they're going to be gone. It's all going to be gone. So God is letting them know that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 11. As a partridge that broods does not hatch, so is he who gets riches, but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. In other words, all of these riches are going to be gone. That's the summation of it. So we might think that we gain some type of advantage when we steal, but we never do. Adam and Eve thought that they would become like God, didn't they? By eating the fruit of the tree. But instead, they fell into sin. They fell into judgment. And so we need to realize that we can never gain any advantage by stealing in any way. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2 says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Righteousness delivers from death. So when you steal from others, to gain wealth for yourself, God says you're going to lose it all. It will all be taken away from you. So that's the first sin, is theft. All right, now let's look at the second one. And this is injustice. The sin is treating others unjustly in order to gain security for yourself. So this is injustice. Look at verse 9. This is found in verse 9 through 11. Look at verse 9 first. Here's the next woe. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. And so the sin here is identified as treating others unjustly in order to gain security for yourself. That's the principle. Look at the phrase here, to set his nest on high. What's the reference there? Well, it's a picture of an eagle. An eagle soars high, sets his nest up high in the security of a cliff in order that he might not have harm, in order that when the eggs are hatched, the birds are hatched, then they're safe. And that eagle is safe high up there. So he's safe from trouble and from harm. That's the reason they build their nest up high. Well, Babylon committed gross injustice to all of these surrounding nations in order to set their nest on high. In other words, the idea is they conquered cities, they exiled the people to foreign lands, they subjected them to forced labor, that they plundered their wealth in order to build their own walls high and to make the Babylonian city secure. It was for their security that they could build their high walls around their cities. And you know, that is a temptation for all of us, because we all long to be secure, don't we? We want security. We all long for that. We are often tempted to treat others unfairly in order that we might strengthen our own position. But we must remember that God is just, and that God pronounces a woe upon all who would act unjustly. God's judgment, then, you're going to forfeit your life. You're going to forfeit your life. You're going to lose the security that you thought you would gain through your injustice. Look at verse 10 and 11. God says, you give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Now, what's the picture here? The picture here is of a person who has built his house by threatening others unjustly, by treating others unjustly. Everything he has was gained through unjust means, and that brings shame upon his house. That's his point here. That brings shame upon his house, and the whole house cries out in testimony against him. That's the idea presented here, of the walls crying out and the timbers answering. The whole house is crying out against him. Well, he had hoped to gain safety and security in life, but instead God says that his life is forfeited. It's forfeited. Look at Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 13 through 17. Here's some woes from Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work, who says, I will build myself a wide house with spacious chambers and cut out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. Shall you reign because you enclose yourself in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Was not this knowing me, says the Lord? And yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood and practicing oppression and violence. The boy Jeremiah lays it out there for us, doesn't he? He says it very well. He says, look at what your fathers did. Look at how you're doing it. the injustice that you have in your life in order that you might gain, that you might have security, that you might have all that you have. But look at your father. Your father thought of the poor. Your father thought of the needy. He did what was just. He did justice, and he was righteous in what he did. And then his question there is, he says, is that not, was this not knowing me? In other words, by knowing God, he did what was right, what was righteous, what was good. And he didn't abuse his neighbor. He didn't do things that were unjust to them. So it is a lie, and it is a deception, that we can attain any type of security by the means of injustice. We just can't do it. When you treat others unjustly to gain security for yourself, then God says you're going to forfeit it. You're going to forfeit it. You lose the very security that you had hoped to gain. So that's the first two sins of Babylon now, theft and injustice. And these sins will not bring what they hope for. That they did not bring Babylon the goal that they were hoping to reach, but rather it brought God's judgment, and they were going to lose all. Now next week, we're going to look at the last three of these sins of Babylon: violence, exploitation, and idolatry. And then we're going to conclude, and I'm trying to conclude a little positively today, but then we will conclude, after we look at those three sins, God's way. And God's way is simply this: lose your life for Christ and find it. That'll be the conclusion. So remember, we don't want to be thieves. We don't want to do unjustly to others, because in the end, we'll lose. Whatever we think we gain, we lose. Let's pray. Our Lord in heaven, we thank you for the day, and Lord, we thank you for this message from Habakkuk, and Lord, I pray that we'll each take it to heart, because, Lord, if we're not careful, we can be thieves. We can rob our employers, or we can rob our government. We can rob in a lot of different ways. So, Lord, help us to be true. Help us, as Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to render to God the things that are God's. Help us to live lives that help others rather than destroy. Because in that way, Lord, we know that we're going to gain in a right way, and we will find your righteousness in our lives. Lord, may we see that. May we search our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in his name that we pray.